10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number two of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny. Denise Dirk, seated to my right in the, Cal, what did you say was the other, the position of power?
Power.
Seat of power.
Power.
You know, Denise.
Power and judgment.
Oh, ooh, even better.
Oh, and I'm feeling all of that today.
Just remember the old rock and roll radio days, we used to go, music power. So it made me think of Denise. Power and judgment.
Yeah, what is it? Don't touch that dial.
Right? Exactly.
What would be the equivalent today in today's digital? Don't close that app.
Yeah, don't tweak that tuner. I don't know.
Don't swipe right. No. All right. So first hour, we covered a couple of cases. The case with the teens being charged with murder down in Las Vegas, and then Kelly Clarkson. And we also had a case or no case. If you missed any of that, I should let you know our show drops as a podcast. Usually, by Monday following the show?
Did it Saturday last week. He was right on it. So, yeah, okay. You know, Saturday or Sunday. Okay.
So if you missed any of this, you can go to RadioLawTalk.com, click on the past shows link, and that you can hear the podcasts. You can also find Radio Law Talk on all of the podcast streaming services that are out there. Just look up Radio Law Talk. See a great picture of Fred Penny. Arms folded, looking menacingly, we're talking the law.
I saw him on the freeway today on a great big electronic billboard, and I thought, wow, that's a nice picture of the bill. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
He really looked really good.
Yeah,
then came up a thing for tacos. I'm thinking, connection? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those revolving digital billboards. He looked really good.
Yeah. So you can find us on all the streaming services there. You can catch any episodes that you don't miss. Now, if you're also listening to us, we're a three-hour show. You're listening to us on a radio station that carries us first hour, second hour, but not the third, or only one, but not hours two and three. Call your radio station. Say, hey, why don't you carry all 3 hours? I like listening to that show. Shameless plug. So make that request. What they demands that the radio station doesn't know about will never be met. So
just say, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Play the show.
Play it. We also had case or no case last hour. Cal, I think we probably got time now for you to even get the whole layout going.
All right, here we go. I'm going to do
now
it.
Now it's
I'm
time to play right, case or no case.
Yay!
Apple Valley, Minnesota. Cassandra Beyer was a waitress just out of high school trying to save up some dough to go to college or maybe a vacation or buy a car or something. She really focused on her future.
Those are three very similar activities there, Cal.
Well, she wanted to save money, right? So she rented a room for $400 a month from mom. She brought home her tip money and put it in a jar by her dresser on the floor. And then, the jar down there on the side. And then she noticed some of her cash was missing. And that some of the things on her dresser drawers appeared to have been slightly rearranged. So she got a small camera and posted it in her room to see if somebody was, coming in and going through her things. And when there was a motion alert, it sent her a video. And sure enough, there was mom, going through her cache, snooping through the things on and inside of her drawer and desk and all of that. Cassandra confronted her mother about it and said, "I demand my privacy." Mom said, "I demand access to all of the rooms in my house. Get out now." Cassandra's mom tossed all of her stuff out on the porch while her daughter was working that night. So she stayed with a friend and called her manager with a heartbreaking story. And her boss said, "I have a lawyer. Let's call him up and see, because your mom can't do this to you. Let's see if you have a case or no case." Denise, you're first. Does she?
She does.
On what basis?
She is a tenant, And what state is this?
Minnesota.
Well, I don't know what the law is in Minnesota, but in California, tenants do have rights. And they can't just be thrown out of their place where they're residing. You have to go through a correct legal process called unlawful detainer in order to get that tenant out. And you may not snoop in their stuff, and you cannot invade their space. That is the area they rent. So I'm going to say that it's a case and daughter wins.
Cassandra, with a victory there in your view. Todd, what do you think about this? This mom says, my house, my rules.
Yeah, you know, how old is Cassandra?
Well, she's just out of high school. I'd imagine 18 or 19.
18, 19 years old. Okay. And
hopping tables, trying to make a buck, you know.
Do we know at what time mom started collecting rent from her so that she could, I mean, she lived with mom the whole time, and then just when she turned 18, mom started charging
her rent. Yeah, and she got
rent.
The job, and mom said, well, you can start paying some rent then. That'll be great. Okay. Cassandra said, good, then I don't have to move, right?
All right. Okay, I tend to agree with Denise that, look, if you had an agreement for rent and she was a tenant, yeah, if you're going to treat somebody as a tenant, family member notwithstanding, you've got to treat them as a tenant and adhere to the law and do what you're going to do, right?
So can a landlord go and inspect the property of the tenant at their leisure, or do they have to inform the tenant? Do you know?
I would think they have to give notice of when they're going to be there.
Yes.
I can tell you that if I was renting a house and got home and found my landlord snooping around inside my house without notice that the landlord was going to be there, there would be a real problem, right? A real problem going on, because one of the things that you get when you rent something, when you lease, is what is it? The enjoyment of habitability and use, separate private use of whatever it is you're renting. And when they deliver the keys to you as a result of that,
and it's exclusive use.
That's the word I was looking for, exclusive use. But the thing about this case here is that it seems to happen so quickly after she turns 18 and the mom is like, yeah, maybe you can throw me some money, and they're calling it rent, but it was really informal. So I'm going to say that this is not a case because of the lack of formality. I just don't think that this was a case. Although if they did have a lease agreement and they did the whole ball of wax and you owe me and they had money to live here and if you don't pay me, you're going to be out. She would have a case. They just didn't have all of that. This just part of the reason I'm saying that is because I have an 18-year-old son who's living at my house. And
is he paying rent?
And you know,
he doesn't even mow the lawn. Come on.
Okay. So no.
and I've got a 23-year-old daughter who lives at home. And I think that if I asked either of them to pay for rent, if this ends up being a case, I may not ask them for rent because I don't really want to endow them with the rights that would come with it.
and one of my children, when they came back home after being out for a while, we said you have to pay rent, and it was a nominal amount, but it was to make a point. And
sure,
they said, I'm going to move out, and they moved out, and they were really sorry they did that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to move out. Okay, go ahead. Go the $200 a month I was going to charge you. Go ahead and move out, and now they're paying $2,200 a month.
Exactly. I'll show you, Mom and Dad. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, I'm running away. Who's going to drive me? So when we come back, though, Cal, you'll give us the answer?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. We'll wait.
All right. Sounds good. So does she have rights as a tenant? Is this a case? Don't go away. Cal's going to let us know, and then we'll get into... We'll get into a DUI case after that about somebody charged with murder as a result of a DUI.
Coming up next on Radio Law Talk with Todd and Denise, you heard the tease there of the cases coming up. There are obviously more as well. In fact, there's a lot coming up right until noon Pacific time, all right here and all for you and all free on local radio and at radiolawtalk.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talk.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Every 40 seconds, a kid is reported missing. Find the Children provides educational material that teaches your kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs are very successful in bringing kids back home to their family. You can help protect our kids and bring the missing kids home safe by donating your unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Running or not, we guarantee you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast free pickup, usually within 24 hours. Over 2,000 kids are reported missing every day. Call now to donate your vehicle. Donate now to bring these kids home safe.
Call 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877.
Attention! If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One Stop Tax Relief Shop.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-294-8702. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-294-8702. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-294-8702. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-294-8702. 800-294-8702.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
I have a human being!
English, do you speak it?
This is Radio Law Talk, and now back to the show with Todd Kuhnen and Denise Dirks, Todd.
wait, what was the very first sound? I am a human being.
Yes, from the Elephant Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you know how many times in my mind I have uttered that phrase after a bad breakup? I am a human being.
And they're still doubt them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still, I'm not an animal. Yes, you are. Oh, brother. So, Cal, we went into the break, and on this case, the 18-year-old who decides to continue living with her mother and pays, what, 400 bucks a month
rent? 400 bucks a month in rent, yeah.
Pays her 400 a month in rent. She's 18, and she, you know, finds out later that her mom's been snooping around her private room. She wanted to be private, did she go to an attorney? Did this end up being a case?
Her mom threw her out, moved her stuff out, put it on the porch. Her boss at the restaurant said, I have a lawyer. Don't get in a fight with your mom. Just talk to a lawyer. Handle it in a different way. And so that's what she did, was to find out if she had a case.
I said no case because maybe a scenario, but not a case. But I'm going with no case. Denise said it was a case. And you know, the thing is, I agree with Denise if it was the, if they came in and did it. I just think that this is a scenario that didn't lead to a case.
Well, it was a case, and Cassandra won.
Wow.
Her mother had to pay her the all of the rent she had paid. The court was not impressed with her mom. He had to pay her back the 2 months' rent she had paid. And when it was all over, Cassandra's mom called her up and said, Cassandra, honey, I'm really sorry. How about you just move back in? And Cassandra said, how about not? And it has affected their relationship going forward. So it tells you the perils.
You want to hear the good news?
Yeah.
I could win this today.
Ah, there you go.
Uh-oh. What's our score?
I'm at 47.
Okay.
Ooh. Fred is at 26.
Okay.
You are at 44.
I think I'm at 9 or something.
And you're at 12.
Yeah. Well, next we're going to go to Texas for a case or no case for next time for a matter of wills and estates and that stuff. That's next hour on Case or No Case. In the meantime, what a long, strange trip it's been so far. And the show continues. Here are Todd and Denise with Radio Law Talk.
All right. So in the first hour, we talked about the four teenagers who were charged with murder in Las Vegas, and we're talking about voluntary manslaughter, and different types of murder with malice aforethought, or what's called depraved heart murder, second-degree murder, which is reckless indifference. And when we were talking about that, I said, we'll talk about another case where a person in California is charged with murder as a result of a DUI, and we are now at that time, okay?
One of the first times, by the way, I might add, that was an important case when it came up.
Well, we'll talk about the one that is the most current and sort of the origin of that.
The precursor case.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So right now, what is his name? Jonathan Lopez, 31 years old, and this is, I believe, down in Orange, California, and he is charged with murder following a hit and run. And he has 5 prior DUI convictions going back to 2011.
Now, that's a crime.
Well,
this guy, obviously, he did not have any license. So he's driving without a license. And
no
he's
insurance.
Drinking again.
Yeah.
And he's had 5 priors. I don't know. This guy deserves to do some really significant time.
Yes.
Before that.
Yes, and you know what made me laugh? I'm sorry, this is not a funny story, but as I understood, after he hit and ran, he also was then kind of being chased by the police, and so he led them on a chase, and he's flipping them off.
Yeah,
he's like out the window, flipping off the cops, laughing.
Some people don't handle alcohol well.
They do not. And, Denise and I were talking about this during the break. And look, I've done DUI defense, prosecuted DUIs, done DUI defense. I've defended guys that have been charged with murder as a result of DUI. I've prosecuted people for DUI murder. And we'll get into what they have to show and why you can be charged with murder as a DUI when it's an accident. But let's take a step back and look at what the law is in California for DUI in general. Okay, so driving with a blood alcohol of 0.08 or higher, or we're just talking about alcohol DUIs. Put aside drug DUIs and all that. So in alcohol cases, if you're driving with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or higher, or if you are impaired due to alcohol And I say that because we all know somebody who maybe they have a couple of drinks. If you tested them, their blood alcohol level might be an 0.4, half the legal limit. They're not an 0.8. They wouldn't be DUI there. But you just know there's no – that person's got no business driving. Lightweight, one beer, the lampshades on their head. Yeah, you're a DUI if you're impaired, if the alcohol has impaired your ability to operate that vehicle with the same caution as a sober person. It doesn't really matter what the amount is. It's just having a 0.08 makes it easier to prosecute because most people are impaired at that level. Okay. And you don't run into the problem that they had before they had a strict liability number of, well, you know, how are you going to – so does the functioning alcoholic who is – shows no impairment signs at all, even they're a 0.10. Are they not DUI when the lightweight is? Look, just having strict liability, 0.08 or higher, you are legally intoxicated, right? Makes it easy. All 50 states have that, with the exception of Utah. I think they just lowered theirs to like a 0.05.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's interesting. And first time DUI is a misdemeanor. Second time DUI, you'd say to California, if the prior is within 10 years, still a misdemeanor. Third time DUI, if your two priors are within 10 years, still a misdemeanor, regardless of blood alcohol level. But the fourth time DUI, if your three priors are within 10 years, now that's a felony. That's a felony.
Now, if you injure somebody the first time you have a DUI, or you do more than $500 in property damage, it can be a felony.
Not the property damage, but the injury, yes. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay, sounds good. Stay with us.
This is Radio Law Talk. We'll continue in just a little bit right here.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730. Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case. Are you serious?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So we went into the break. We were talking about DUI cases and under what conditions are they misdemeanors or felonies? And we'd hit the, look, first, second, third time DUIs. And when I say that, that's assuming that the priors are within, for a second or third time, that those priors are within 10 years of the commission of the most recent offense. Those are all misdemeanors. I mean, you could have a blood alcohol that was a point that was five times the legal limit, six times the legal limit, doesn't matter. It's still a misdemeanor. But the fourth time, if your three priors are within 10 years, now it's a felony. The fifth time DUI, well, now it's a felony because you got a prior felony DUI, right? And so that's kind of how the law works. And the exceptions to that are, first-time DUI can be a felony if somebody is injured in that first-time DUI. There's no felony treatment if you have property damage over a certain amount, but if somebody is injured on a first or second-time DUI, or if it's a third-time DUI, any of those that would normally be misdemeanors without injuries, those can all be felony DUIs if somebody's injured. So the question here is, under what conditions, circumstances, can somebody be charged with murder if they get a DUI, they get into an accident, and as a result of that DUI accident, somebody is killed? And technically, depending on the circumstances, look, a first-time DUI, if somebody is killed, if there are certain conditions met, could be charged as murder. In California, we call them Watson murder cases because it springs out of a case called Watson versus Superior Court. And this is where we have a little bit of a celebrity with regard to this. Watson versus Superior Court actually hails from Cal's neck of the woods.
Yep.
A case from the 80s. Watson went to a bar, drove by himself to a bar, got plowed drunk at the bar, then got into his pickup truck and drove away, ran a stop sign, maybe a red light, nearly got into one accident, kept driving, and eventually got into another accident and killed some people and was charged with murder under the theory that, look, he might not have had implied malice, but it was reckless endangerment. It was depraved heart. He was acting without any care for the consequences of his actions, knowing that, after the first missed accident, that death could be likely here.
He had to have known that his actions could have led to the death of another.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And not just could have, but was likely to.
Yeah.
Right? And so he was charged, and they held a preliminary hearing. The judge held him to order. He appealed it, and the U.S. or the California Supreme Court said, no, we believe that you can be charged with second-degree murder for a DUI on these circumstances. And ever since then, we've had the Watson murder cases in California. Now, Cal.
Yep. Yeah, before that, you could be charged with involuntary manslaughter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been an easy charge in that kind of a situation.
And they still are charged
most times, yeah.
Yeah, with DUI manslaughter, because it really depends on what you knew or what the DA is able to prove you knew or should have known by the time you got behind the wheel of the car. Now, Cal, just as a side note, did you say you offered testimony?
I offered testimony in the change of venue hearing because the defense said, this case has garnered so much publicity, we want to move it out of town. And the district attorney, if my memory serves me correctly, his name was Steve Carlton. I was the news director. He called me in and said, tell me, how many does your publicity more than usual? And I said, about the same for a typical DUI case. We didn't go overboard on this. You know, what you're doing legally with this may have gathered some new attention, but as far as us, you know, saying this guy deserves to be condemned because of what he's done, we just covered the story.
So did you beat the change of venue?
No change of venue.
All right. Yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So under what circumstances does that mean that if it's a first time DUI and somebody dies, generally speaking, I don't think the DA would be able to prove Watson. I don't think the DA would be able to prove that you engaged in activity that is dangerous to human life and could lead to death, and that you could be charged with murder if you got into an accident. But here's something interesting that happens in almost every plea in the state of California for a DUI, first time DUI and going on, right? There is the Vehicle Code Section 23593 advisement that is given. It's called the Watson advisement. And so there's a transcript of this. Do you plead? No contest. Okay, and then the judge says, do you acknowledge that, judge says, I'm going to read you this advisement. You understand that driving while intoxicated is an inherently dangerous activity that's dangerous to human life. You understand that if you pick up a DUI in the future, and you are DUI, you commit a DUI in the future, and if as a result of that driving, somebody is killed, you could be charged with murder. And the defendant says, yes. Now there's a transcript. This guy's got five priors. The guy out of Orange has got five prior
DUIs. Now
we
can't say I didn't know, right?
And I guarantee you, I would be shocked if there weren't five different transcripts showing that on five different occasions he acknowledged that driving while being intoxicated is inherently dangerous, and that he could be charged with murder if somebody is killed, because they were doing these advisements statewide in 2011, and that's when his first DUI happened.
Yeah, but you know what he's going to say.
What?
I was drunk and didn't understand what you were saying.
Standard defense. I was too intoxicated when I was driving. I don't know. I couldn't.
I was impaired.
So he didn't understand what he was doing when the advisement was given?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. The advisement is given when you have a plea, right? And when you do that, one of the first things the judges asks are you under the influences of any substances right now that affect your ability to enter a plea? And they say no. And if they thought they were impaired, they wouldn't do it. So this guy's got five of those.
The advisement is also given, by the way, I'm sure you know this, if they go to a rehab, it's in the rehab manual. So it's one of the things that they are made aware of in court, and in court-ordered rehab, this information is relayed to them again. Okay. And if it doesn't happen there, then they can squiggle out of it.
Okay, so remember I told you that on a first-time DUI, generally, if a guy commits a first-time DUI and somebody is killed, generally speaking, they would not charge him or her with murder. And the reason why is because this advisement, generally speaking, hasn't been given. However, if they had been previously in rehab, not because they got a DUI, but because they had a drinking problem.
Right.
And if the DA can show that this advisement was given to them at any time, then technically, even on a first-time DUI, yeah, you can charge them with murder.
Works for me on every level, as far as I'm concerned. You get behind a vehicle after you've been drinking, you have to know this is a risky activity.
It is.
If I get in my car, I could kill somebody. I mean, I know you're drunk when you do it, so your judgment's impaired, but
Well, where it gets tricky, I'll just my little soapbox here. Where it gets tricky, I get the alcohol DUIs. Where it gets tricky is when it's a drug-based DUI that results in murder because or that results in the death of somebody else because it's difficult to show that somebody in a drug case is necessarily impaired for purposes of driving because of the drug that they were on. Somebody's driving under the influence of methamphetamine, all right? Now, the average person hears, methamphetamine, must be impaired.
There you go.
Well, right. I don't know. You know why Germany was able to make it across France so quickly at the beginning of World War II?
Cocaine.
No.
Well, that was Hitler. Hitler was a cocaine guy, soldiers.
Yeah, it was the soldiers were all given methamphetamine.
Yeah.
And guess what? They operated their vehicles and shot with great precision when they came down from it. It was tough. But while they were on it, their senses were alerted. They were heightened. And that's why the Allied forces were like, how are they fighting so they just don't rest? How are they making so much time? And I'm not saying this to condone drug use, but you have to show that somebody was impaired at the time of driving. Well, if somebody has methamphetamine in their bloodstream,
it's an enhancer, right?
If they have it in their bloodstream at the time, it's very difficult to show, okay, what was their impairment level at the time of driving? Well, I might have a blood test 3 hours after the fact, but what was it at the time of driving? It's not like alcohol where it's much easier to show it at the time, and alcohol is one of those that impairs not only your mental functions, but your muscular ability to carry out the mental signals. Denise?
Yeah, I wanted to say that right now the biggest problem in California, at least one of the biggest problems, is that they have legalized marijuana, but they have no impairment formula. They don't know what impairs you with marijuana, and they do not have a standard yet. And
that's
I
right.
think that's a big problem.
And the problem is with alcohol, it was easy for them to determine a standard. With marijuana,
it's all subjective, is it, Todd?
It's very subjective. And you know what? I'll comment on that when we come back from the break, because there is a solution out there that a lot of people aren't going to like, but it's technically what they did with alcohol. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
All right, so under the influence, first off, you know it's a problem. Secondly, don't do it. Thirdly, we'll talk more about it as we continue with Radio Law Talk with Todd Kunin and Denise Dirks. Don't go away.
This is Radio Law Talk.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth.
I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
I'm kind of a big deal.
I am big.
Showtime.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So when we went to the break, we were talking about, so what do you do? I mean, California and all states have strict liabilities, we talked about, for alcohol, 0.08 or higher in your DUI, whether you're a functioning alcoholic, you know, and by functioning alcoholic, I mean these folks like, what, Otis from the Andy Griffith Show, you know, there are some folks that was it Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP when they had the impairment test with the CHP officer, and the more Johnny drank, the better he got on the test, right? Well, California with their DUI laws and all states are like, look, strict liability. You're an 08 or higher, you're legally drunk. Doesn't matter if you
end of story.
Yeah, doesn't matter if your reflexes get better or worse or what, you're just legally impaired. In the state of California, and all states are like that. But not all states, and I think very few, have the same strict liability amounts for substances other than alcohol. In fact, alcohol in California is the only one that you have. I want to say Montana has one now for marijuana, but I'm not positive. And so Denise asked this question about, you know, what do you do in marijuana cases when they don't have the studies to show a point at which all people would be impaired based upon marijuana use. And I hate to say it, but that was the conundrum that they were faced with alcohol. And they just decided to say, look, this is the line we're drawing. And if you're over it, you're over it. And with marijuana, there's going to come a time, I would predict, that the legislature is going to say, look, if you have any, now got to understand here, the substance in marijuana that makes you high, right? This is not the substance that they can test for and you can test positive for up to 30 days after use or 90 days. The substance that makes you high is what's called Delta 9 THC.
Tetrahydrocannabinoid.
Yes. Delta 9 THC is the active ingredient of marijuana. And ultimately, I think that the legislature... To make you high.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think that the legislature is going to get to the point where they just say, look, if you get pulled over and the officer suspects you of being high and they test your blood, if Delta-9 THC is present in your blood at any detectable level or above a 0.01 nanograms per milliliter, they'll pick some, then whether you thought you were high or not, California, you're drug DUI. And that's probably what they're going to have to do.
I think they have to. There are 12 states that have zero tolerance for THC,
okay.
Period, 12 states. And if you ask the question, what impairment is the most often found in persons that cause deaths, right? After alcohol, marijuana is the next chemical that is found in the bloodstream of people who cause crashes and driving deaths.
Wow.
So I do think it's something that California has to address. The legislature, of course, is the one that's going to have to address it. It's not likely going to come out of case law, right?
See, and marijuana, yeah, it can't come out of case law. Marijuana is one of those things that's just, it's such a tricky drug. And I'll give you, this is from when I was a prosecutor, right? So I was prosecuting DUIs. It was here in the state of California. The defense says, hey, we're going to call this one expert. It's a guy who lives close by. And I looked him up, and sure enough, this guy had been doing marijuana research as on impairment going back to the 70s. I mean, this guy had been around the block, right? And I found an article, and I think it was Car and Driver magazine. I actually bought the issue. I had to find it in some place to buy the issue because it was like 1981, 1982. So I found the article, and this is what he showed. The editors of Car and Driver talked to this guy, and they said, okay, what is it about marijuana that would impair you, and are you impaired for purposes of driving? And they went and they rented this track, road course, and the guy met him out there. And all the editors went and drove the road course when they were normal, and then they all went back and smoked some pot and drove the road course again. And they measured how well they drove it after versus before. Now, here's the interesting thing. To a person, every editor said, there is no way I would have felt safe driving on the road in the state that I was in after I had smoked the marijuana.
Wow.
To a person, each one of them performed better on the road course under the influence of marijuana than they did before.
Even though they knew they were buzzed.
Even though they knew they were buzzed. They said, look, I felt like I was impaired, that I shouldn't be driving, but statistically they did better on it. It's weird, right, the way this worked out. And that's why marijuana, it's just, it affects people so differently. I think that because of that, my personal opinion is, you got to have strict liabilities, zero tolerance.
Get an objective standard and deal with it, and just make it that.
It's the only way to err on the side of caution. Now, I get a kick out of people that say, well, it's legal now in California. How are you going to make it how is marijuana DUI even a thing now that marijuana is legal in California?
So is alcohol, Todd.
That's exactly what I say. Well, like alcohol's been legal the whole time except for prohibition.
Yeah.
And we still have DUI laws.
Oh man, bummer!
You know,
you're narking my buzz.
Somebody gets a marijuana DUI, and it's a condition of their probation. They ordered not to consume marijuana while they're on probation. Well, but it's legal. It's legal.
I have a medical license.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Alcohol has been legal the whole time.
Medical
and
license.
If somebody has a second time DUI, very common prohibition. Not to drink while you're on probation or go to any place where alcohol is the chief item of sale.
Yep.
Bars, liquor stores. Doesn't matter if it's legal. You haven't used, you haven't been a good steward over that legal right. Yes.
Even though Granny had a bottle from Prohibition that had an RX label on the front for her rheumatism medicine. Yes, it does really.
You know, the real struggle with DUI probation.
What's that?
So let's say a guy's married and he picks up the DUI. Picks up a second DUI, and as a condition of that second DUI, he is ordered not to use or possess alcohol. That means it can't be; he can't possess it. It can't be in where he lives and all that. So if his spouse, who has never picked up a DUI, likes to have a glass of wine every night with dinner, guess who has to abide by the prohibition clause? Because you can't have alcohol in the house.
That all works for me. It's
so,
okay with
so
me.
Everybody in the house, unless you move, everybody in this house is going to have to abide by that prohibition clause because you can't have alcohol in the house.
Unforeseen consequences.
So, yeah, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, well, and now in today's world, we're talking about marijuana is, you know,
commonplace. Yeah.
It's commonplace, but it is grown and it is so much more powerful than it is has ever been. It's basically grown like pharmaceuticals. I mean, you know what I'm saying. It's just they know exactly how to grow it to the best ability to make it the strongest it is. And there's all these different kinds of strains that really do have different kinds of reactions
yep.
to them. And it's you know, in one strain, maybe you're going to get paranoid. In another strain, maybe it's going to make you tired. In another strain, it's going to make you super hungry. And they, and so marijuana is a lot more complex in a lot of ways than alcohol is.
It is in today's day and age. Although when I was doing DUIs, prosecuting and even defending, the experts when you say they'll often be asked a question. About, okay, can you extrapolate what the blood alcohol level was? And by that I mean, let's say that you get the blood test. The only sample you have for a person that the officer suspected was DUI, let's say the guy's a 0.07, but that was 2 hours after driving. And based upon the fact pattern, you knew that, let's say he drove at 5, the alcohol test was at 7, but you knew that he stopped drinking at, say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So then you present that to your expert. Can you say, can you estimate what his blood alcohol level would have been at the time of driving if he was an 07 2 hours after? The first question they'll say is, what was he drinking? Because if it was beer, it was one thing. If it was hard liquor, it's another thing. But usually they can go back and say if he was an 07 at 7 o'clock and he stopped drinking at 4 o'clock, then he was probably a 1.0 or a 0.11 at the time of driving, and that's how they prove the DUI case.
Interesting. So different strains of alcohol have different effects and different strains
of
weed.
It's like different proof. It's the proof level on the alcohol.
There you go.
So that'll do it for this hour. Hour number 3 coming up after this break. Don't go away. Thanks for joining us here at Radio Law Talk. We hope you'll stay with us.
Remember, if you can't get Hour 3 on your local radio station, just flip over to RadioLawTalk.com and listen live. And if it's after hours, just click on some of the shows and listen to our past ones. They're all there. This is Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.